Okay, we want to call this meeting to order of the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees, May 19th, 2022. Welcome, everybody, this evening. Good to see you all. If you would look at your agenda, the purple sheet, and just review those items. And if anybody has any changes. If not, we can entertain a motion to approve the draft agenda.
I make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay, we will move on now to public or guest remarks, and I guess this is where we get our report from Heather.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I know Rose has talked about the Steve Library in one of the previous meetings, but I just wanted to tell you that it's still going really well. We have about 60 people who have registered now. And the thing that I really like, people are bringing in, we got all these this week from different people. They're bringing in their own seeds now. It's not just, we're not just buying things or getting donations, you know, from things that people have bought. They're bringing in their seeds that they have saved from their garden.
Oh, that is nice.
I'm really happy about that because it's reaching another segment of the population that doesn't normally use the library, so I'm really happy with how that's gone. And one other thing I wanted to tell you, our friends group met in April, and they elected officers. They haven't met since the pandemic, so we're happy about that.
That's good.
That's
really good.
I'll be brief.
That's your report.
Yeah.
That's a great report. I have heard a lot about the Steve Library and seen a lot, and I think that's just a great thing to be doing.
Well, and you're keeping generations just going and going. I mean, some of these people probably have these seeds in their family for
Yeah, heirloom seeds, maybe. So, thanks for all you're doing.
Yes.
We appreciate it. Jill Howie's great.
Even if she is wearing that.
Oh. Okay. So if that's all, we will move on to approval of the minutes of the April meeting, which are also in your packet. If you had a chance to review those in your email, or if you want to look through them right now, we will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
No. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's go on now to the April disbursements, which are also in your packet, the check register here. If you'll just look through there and see if you have any questions about any of the items listed. It's really good because there are notes in that little column that describe exactly what it's for. So that answers a lot of questions I would have. But outside of that, do you all have any questions or?
It's beautiful what we used to look to.
It is. It's great. Sheila or Rose, do you have anything you would like to kind of?
So the only big one I would point out is the Connected Solutions group on April 19th. That's for those internet routers for the churches, and that will be reimbursed, and I have filed for the reimbursement. So that's a big check to write at one time, but we will be reimbursed for that.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions? If not, we will entertain a motion to approve the disbursements for April.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you all. Now let's go to the financial report for April. This is also here, the spreadsheet printout. And we don't have to vote on this, we just need to review it. Would you all like to kind of walk us through any lines that are getting, this was for April, so.
So we have 2 months left.
2 months left.
After this. So we're starting to manage this pretty closely. We have taken a good look at where we have money left, particularly state money, because we have to spend 100% of our state money. And so Helen and Sheila and I will be working very closely over the next month, particularly to make sure we get all that state money out the door. We do have several, so people were allowed to place orders until Friday of last week. So we have some outstanding book orders that will draw down all that money. In addition, there's some spending that I wait to do until the end. So the digital resources, for example, that is showing, you know, $5,674, I will send $3,000 of that to Hoopla to prepay Hoopla for next year, and I will spend the rest of it on Overdrive. So we will spend that down. The other thing I would just say is, because next year's budget is going to be tighter, you know, it'll be a good thing if we have money left to carry over. So far it's looking like we'll have at least $50,000 to carry over, which will give us the cushion that we need. Other than that, we will do some end of year procurement of computers. Again, we've kind of deliberately waited till the end of the year to make sure that we had, you know, the funding available. But all three of the public computers in Saltville need to be replaced because they're just barely functional. Mm-hmm. Only one of them really works. And so they can really only have one public person on a computer at a time. So we are, and Josh has done everything to them he can. They just can't be extended any longer. So that is all, because they're public computers, those are all eligible for state funding. So we will use, you know, that money to make sure we get new workstations. Heather's desktop here at a minimum needs a new hard drive, and it may need to be replaced. So we'll be doing that also at the end of the year. But that, again, that was a plan. Darren is working on the exterior signs. So here's our latest design for the exterior signs. He hasn't given me the cost for this. So on the exterior line, you see there's still $10,000 there. We'll spend that on these. He has to give me a final price. So we may build two of them this year and one of them next year, because I put money in for next year's budget because I wasn't sure exactly. But we'll have money to do these. So those are kind of the big pieces of money that are still in there.
Okay, and we're good on salary. It looks like we're gonna have plenty of money for that.
We are, and this month for the first time we've broken it down for you. We've just been showing you one global number, and so this time on that line, you're seeing the first part, which is just the salaries, and then the second line is the taxes and the employer contributions for retirement and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you see two different lines, but we'll have plenty on both of those.
Okay. All right. Any other questions about the financial report?
And please do ask. I mean, I worry sometimes that we speak kind of jargon about library world, and if it doesn't make sense to you, please ask.
It's laid out in such a way that I think that it answers its own questions. And if I were to see a negative number that was large, then I would probably say, "Ooh, what's that mean?" But right now, I think we're, maybe next month we'll have more questions, but this month I think we're good.
Okay.
So let's move on then to the director's report.
All right. So I will also try to be brisk. So this month has really been about a couple of things, in addition to what I told you in the written report. And it's really been trying to get those grants wrapped up and now get the reimbursements done. So we've gotten our first reimbursement for the Wi-Fi hotspots and those data plans. So we filed and it went through all the processes, and so it showed up on Friday in our bank account. So that's the first reimbursement we've gotten from them. I've applied to the Library of Virginia. The amount is $20,669, so it'll be a big chunk of reimbursement from them. So that will be helpful. We also applied for another year under the Emergency Connectivity Fund grant to continue to fund those data plans for another year. Mm-hmm. We weren't sure when we started that we were going to get a second year, so that application was due last Friday and we got it in on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm very confident that we'll get that approved as well. You'll hear more in a minute about summer reading, but that is for Heather and Tracy and Chris. That has been the last month or so has just been intense focus on getting ready for summer reading, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. And trying to get the exterior signs nailed down.
Mm-hmm. I noticed there is going to be a DARS employee.
So we actually met with them today, mm-hmm. and we just today there were a few wrinkles thrown into that. When he called me to pitch it, he said there would be a job coach with her at all times. When they came today, they said, well, if you find that you need a job coach, we can get one. So it was a little different. It's okay, and we think it's gonna be okay. They also, instead of DARS paying her, it turns out People Inc. will actually be her employer. And they originally said it was 120 hours, but now they're saying it's up to 300 hours. Mm. So, and she has up to a year. Mm. So we've agreed with her mom that it will start out 4 hours a day, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Mm-hmm. And she will be doing cleaning new materials that are coming out of the book drop. She'll be helping with shelving in the children's department. Mm-hmm. And also helping in public services,
okay,
with their great shelving and cleaning. So
okay, looks great. Anybody have any questions about the director's report?
Looks good. Staying busy.
It all looks good.
I'll do that.
A lot of things going on.
I would also that one of your things you have in your pile is the Hoopla report. So mm-hmm. it jumped up a lot this month. So the month of April, we had the most uses we've had on Hoopla mm-hmm. so far. So
great.
That's a great and good thing.
We like that. Okay, let's move into summer reading, because it is time for lots of excitement, I'm sure.
So we have, we've had kind of two rounds of meetings with, you know, meeting all together, all three locations. And unlike last year where we were doing very gently just story times and not all the full story times, this year we're going back to a full-on traditional summer reading program with all of the big public events, all of the regular story times. So the calendar, I think I sent y'all a link to the calendar on our website mm-hmm. with all of the events, and it's just so impressive. It makes me smile every time I look mm-hmm. at them, and Tracy and Heather can tell you more, but they've just been incredibly creative at pulling together really exciting events. Mm-hmm. We've got Ripley's Aquarium coming. We've got the Town Pool in Marion. We've mm-hmm. got the Dinos. I mean, we've just got really terrific mm-hmm. programs. People are already walking in asking, mm-hmm. is it time to sign up for summer reading? You know, where can I sign up for summer reading? Mm-hmm. So we've got all the promotional materials out for them to know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So y'all, what else do you want to say about summer reading?
Well, let's see. Personally, I finished up my last school year program today, and I'm on vacation next week, so I'm a little frantic about summer reading, because we'll come right back, and I have 2 days of volunteer training from mm-hmm. teen volunteers this summer, and then we go right into the school visits, because that's when they start their summer school programs, so we'll do the kindergarten readiness group and summer school group, and then kick off at the town pool, and then it's on. Mm. For 6 weeks, we got 13 programs a week.
That's awesome.
It's chaos.
It really is. I did introduce a family, like an evening story time this year, which I haven't done before. Mm. My kids are not pleased. That's 3 evenings a week. I'll be out until 8:30, but that's okay. I'll see them, you know, after summer reading. I would take off like the beginning of August. Yeah. It's all good.
It's like tax time for accountants.
It is.
And Heather, again, this year is going to be using the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really popular last year, so we're going to continue with that. People really liked it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing all the different ages. I'm still going to do the family story times once per week. And then we're having the free family shows
on the Thursday.
Yeah, and I have one scheduled for every week, pretty much for June and July. So.
What that does also... It happened one day when I was driving by, I happened to look over and see a story time, and I'm like, wow, what is that? And I happened to remember it was a story time, so it also kind of puts on display for the community, and anybody driving by, look what's going on at the library, or with the library.
Mm-hmm. And we're also serving lunch after the story time this year with Feeding Southwest Virginia.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They did that last year and it was very popular, and so they're doing it again.
It really pulls, I think, a lot of people in. So.
Although this year we're not going to be able to give them food to take home with them. Last year they kind of got food
for a grant for my grandfather.
Right. But that's changed. So they won't get food to take home with them this year like they did last year. But it's still free lunch, brings a lot of people. So you had 70, roughly 70 every week.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, there it's really wonderful.
Amazing.
And Chris, you know, Chris has fewer just because she has no place to do them. So she's doing 3 big events, and then she'll be doing her weekly story times by age group. Mm-hmm. But she has to do them by small groups just because she doesn't have room. So.
Well, shout out to Jill Harold for letting me go. That's really great. I mean, like I said, like Margaret said, you're on the front row. There's not a better place you could be.
Mm-hmm. People can't help but wonder, what is that?
What's going on?
And when you have that big library card, you can kind of put it out.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. So we've got giant library cards that Darren Handy has made for us.
Awesome.
And so the idea is when children get a library card, they'll get their picture taken with the giant library card, and we'll put it on Facebook.
Wow.
If their parents allow. If their parents let us. But
that's great.
So, but yes, we have one for every location. So.
Well, anytime people can see what's going on without having to actually come into the library, I think it's really good outreach. And so, great job.
Yes.
It's wonderful. So, let's move on to new website. I've seen the new website, and it is very nice. It's streamlined and easy to navigate.
People have told us that they really like it. We had a few glitches that we've worked through. I mean, we had a problem with our computers. The security settings for all of our internal computers were so strict that it wouldn't let us see our own website. And so Josh literally had to change them computer by computer. Because we need to keep the network safe. So he has really tight controls. But he had to go computer by computer, and Heather's has gone, every time he fixes it.
It's okay today.
So there have been glitches, and then it wasn't sorting events properly. So if you tried to sort on Saltville, it pulled up Chilhowie's events, and so we fixed that. So we've had our glitches, but overall it's been really good. And one of the surprising things has been that one of the most popular forms on the website has been the online only cards. Mm-hmm. So we've issued 10 so far.
At least.
Wow.
And on the web, it tells us which forms people click on, how many times, and how many of those convert to submission of forms. And for that form, it's 30%. Mm-hmm. 30% of people who click on that form complete the application for an online only card.
Right.
And that wasn't one of the things we thought was going to be a big seller for the website, but so far it has been very popular.
And very few of those have actually been people that were already in the system. I think maybe 2, possibly 3.
They're new users. There was one statistic you shared at a Board of Supervisors meeting. What percentage of the population in Smith County uses the library service? They access it in some way. What was the percent? It was really high.
Well, it's the number of library cards we have.
Number of library cards.
So it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword because those are, you know, the library cards that are in the system.
Okay.
So they're not active, you know, I wouldn't tell you that they're active
but
users.
There are people who...
But there are 18,000 cards in our system in a county of 29,000 people.
That's
a big number, right? Now, are all 18,000 of those people we see every week? Of course not, right? Some of those are people we see once a year. But for vote, you know, for people who are elected by the citizens of this community to know that 18,000 cards have been issued by our library is an important thing to know.
It is. That statistic actually shocked me. I don't think I had ever heard that number. For as long as I've known the library, I didn't know that there were that many cards. So,
if you lived outside the county, could you still get a library card for Smith County?
Yes.
Yes.
You can actually get a card if you live out of state.
Okay.
We charge them for the privilege.
For
those people, we charge them for the privilege. But
okay.
It's a reciprocal for all libraries. So
okay.
You can get a Washington County card, you can get a Russell County card, you can get a With Grayson card.
I was just wondering if the number of people who actually have library cards are actual Smith County citizens, which they might not be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the majority are.
The majority are.
But, I mean, we do have people, especially, and I'm sure that sometime or another, when it gets out to people's families who live in other places,
mm-hmm.
that we have people choose
yeah.
a card.
That's what I'm thinking.
We'll have more.
Yeah.
But usually, except in the past couple of years where the pandemic has kind of shut down park stuff and whatnot, just about every summer we get somebody who's staying at the park for several weeks
yeah.
or something,
yeah.
and they'll get an out-of-state card. Sometimes when people come in and like work there, like do volunteer work and stuff there for a couple months, they'll come over and get a card
okay.
and stuff like that. So
okay, yeah.
And it's $10. We charge them $10.
Yeah,
kind of recognizing that they're not taxpayers
right.
in Smith County, so they help, you know, subsidize
right.
the cost of their using resources.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we do issue them, but we do charge for it.
Okay.
Now that's been a benefit of the new website.
And that's $10 for the membership.
Yes, for a year. It's $10 if you're out of state.
That's ridiculously reasonable.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had anybody not do it when we told
mm-hmm.
them. If they were intent on getting a card, they were, that's,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have said that that's nothing compared to like other
right.
places that do out-of-state cards.
That is, it's a good deal. Anything else on the website you would like to share?
Just the other thing is that it's so much easier to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh my gosh,
we all have roles in keeping it maintained and current, and it's just so easy to
mm-hmm.
do compared to the
That's
old one.
Good.
It's so it, we're much more able to make it real time, and people can get up to the date information
mm-hmm.
all the time because it's so easy to maintain it.
That's great. We like easy.
We do.
Okay.
Very much.
Let's move on to the HAL membership.
So I mentioned in my director's report that Innovative, which is the company that sells the ILS to HAL, did a demonstration. So the first demonstration we had was with the other HAL, was with the HAL members.
Mm-hmm.
But this was from the company, and that was one of the days I was out of town. So the rest of the management team participated in the demonstration. Everyone reported that it went well. They answered all of the questions. We had two follow-up questions for them about Vega Discover, which is a new product that HAL is implementing, and they're implementing it right now. We didn't know what the timing on that was. And then we had a question about holds, you know, how the hold button works in the Sierra product, and he got back to us with an answer on that. So all of our questions were responded to, and people seemed to like everything they heard about Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, it's going to be so much easier to use than Circe. Yeah, the problem with Circe is that it was designed 15 years ago, and so the interface for working with the computer is 15 years old. It's not intuitive, so young people today who have grown up on computers today are confronted with a system that doesn't operate like any other computer software that they use. And so it's very, it's not intuitive at all. And so you have to open a lot of screens, which leads to a lot of mistakes. So we had to kind of create extra steps in our processes to compensate for the mistakes caused by the clunky system. So compared to that, Sierra is a much easier system to use. It's easier to get reports out of. In general, it's a modern, updated interface.
So the question I have is, what happens to the digital archive when this transfer happens?
So we can do it, we have a variety of ways, and it'll be our choice. I would not recommend that we put it in Sierra because that's a really labor-intensive process. Jeremy, who from the company that manages the website, says that it would be very easy to do something like move those things to Flickr and then connect Flickr to our website.
Right.
So we have a page on the website for digital materials, so then we would just link from that to Flickr. Trying to re-enter all of that stuff into Sierra is just incredibly time-consuming, and patrons don't like it because it's really hard to use those images. You have to go one by one by one, and it's, you know, people are used to flipping through a scrapbook or a folder or a file.
That the only item I can think of on the digital archive that would be a little bit of a challenge would be all the newspapers. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure there's a way for Flickr to absorb all that. But maybe that would be the, I mean, because most people, back when we were doing all this, they loved accessing the newspapers, and there are a lot of newspapers. So the Flickr is going to be, you know, I don't know how you would split that up by year, an image, or how you would want to manage that. But that's something for another time and another place.
Just, and we can look at solutions. So again, this is, Hal is going to be something I'm going to ask you all to
approve
at the June meeting. So the June meeting, we'll be looking at the budget, to approve the budget for the year. I'll also, even though Hal is not part of that budget, I am going to ask you all to kind of approve a sense of the board resolution that, you know, it is my intent to join Hal for the following fiscal year, so that, you know, it won't show in the budget until next fiscal year, but I have to tell Hal by July 1st if we intend to join. So before July 1st, I need you all to be comfortable with a decision to join Hal.
And I think at some point, if you could just remind us in June kind of the cost comparison from what it would be with what we're in Searcy to what we would be with Hal over a five-year period, then that helps us make the decision financially.
Sure. And I will show you. My intent is to give you kind of a pros and cons, you know, what we get versus, you know, the trade-offs that we make.
Okay. And that, I think, would be my main concern. So.
And then we'll have, you know, the good news is we and they have a year to do the implementation, and so there will be a lot of work to do to migrate stuff out of Searcy into Sierra.
Okay.
So if you ever wanted to get out of it, what does Hal, like let's say that you join Hal and then you decide, okay, we don't want to do it. Is it an easy process? I mean, it's not.
I think you have to do it a year out. I think that's what, I mean, I have all the contract and all the document, but I think you have to give them a year's notice because, you know, it affects everybody's budget. So I think that's their request, is that you tell them at the beginning of a fiscal year, at the end of this fiscal year, we're leaving.
Well, that's pretty easy.
So, they're not locking you in to a 10-year contract or anything.
Like a fountain or something.
Right. But, you know, I will say, you know, we'll have more of this discussion next month, but anytime you change ILS systems, there's a migration fee. And so the migration fee is usually quite significant, like $15,000.
And that's what they're...
And so they want us so badly that they're, everybody's paying the migration fee. We're not paying the migration fee alone. All of the members of HAL are willing to take a piece of that migration fee. So that we, because $15,000 would be prohibitive for us, and they know that. And so if we were to decide to leave HAL, we'd have to migrate someplace else, and then we again face that migration cost. So while it's not hard in the sense of our contract with HAL, it is a considerable decision because it would come with that price tag of migration to another software system.
Mm-hmm. And on our own.
Right, and on our own.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will continue that conversation in June.
Yep.
New business, school readiness.
Yes, so I just wanted to tell y'all quickly that, you know, one of the things we learned over this year is, you know, Smith County is in the bottom performance of the state for having students ready for kindergarten. And so, you know, as a public library that spends a lot of time with young children, we have a role to play in helping make sure children are ready. So we have joined several, you know, groups that are working on this issue. There's a Smith County group that's led by Kimberly Williams at the school board. Tracy and I participated in a meeting there. Several of us have taken training that the Library of Virginia has offered. The Institute for Museum and Library Studies, which is our federal agency, offered training, offered funding to create a program for libraries to work on school readiness. And so we've taken that training. That program has expanded to Virginia, and there's a whole toolkit available to us. So that we've started that. And then yesterday I went to the United Way meeting down in Abingdon of 21 jurisdictions also working on this issue. Although that group is really more childcare focused than, you know, kind of the actual content or what are the areas that children need to work on to be ready for kindergarten. And we're much more focused on, you know, what are the exact skills, things like using words when you're doing story time, about size, about bigger or smaller, you know, what's more, what's less, so they start to have those concepts. So they're really, we've been doing a lot of this already. We're just going to try to be a lot more deliberate in incorporating it into story times and programs and craft kits to make sure that they get those fine motor skills that they have to be able to use scissors before they can go to kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of scholarship now about what are the skills, so we're just trying to be a lot more deliberate and to participate in those groups and those activities and, you know, just help share information and share resources.
How does that relate to the preschool programs that are in Smith County?
They're part of this group.
They are?
Yes.
The preschool?
So,
okay.
Yeah, so Kimberly Williams leads that group, and the folks who were on that call also included all of the folks, but also the private preschools and Head Start and social services. It's really a multidisciplinary group of folks working on this.
Have you reached into, like, pediatricians' offices to kind of hit some of these kids who don't participate in any of those other...
And that's the big, and that's the big challenge, to be honest, is, you know, I don't know which one of the team members said it, but somebody said, Rose, we don't worry about the children we see. Mm-hmm. We worry about the children we don't see. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, this big strategic question is, what can we do to get those families and those children into the library? Because once they're there, we know they will love it. Mm-hmm. We know they will find stuff that they will love. Mm-hmm. It's just getting them there.
Everybody's got to go to a pediatrician at some point.
Yeah, we do have lots of pediatricians.
That would be the one spot I would think. Yeah. They're not going to go to a preschool. They're not going to go to this other. Yeah. They are going to be at the doctor's.
Yes, office. Tracy.
I went around and gave
Took flyers.
Enough to go in every single exam room.
Great.
I haven't been there to double check that they're hanging up, but I gave them to them.
That's great.
And we've thought about things like becoming a diaper bank. So one of the things that families with low income struggle sometimes to do is have diapers. And so there are places around the country that have become diaper banks, mm-hmm. where we would get donations of diapers and publicize to the community, if you need diapers for your child, go to the diaper bank at the library.
That's a great idea.
To just get them in the library.
That reminds me of the seed bank. It's like putting a need with a resource. And
what about TANF? The TANF programs? Because I know they used to do like classes and things. And I mean, would they let you into like Smith County?
So I will be honest in saying it's been a little hard to get in touch with the social services folks, not for lack of trying on my part, but I will keep trying. Well, I think they're busy. Yeah.
So I've got a few contacts there.
Well, please, I would welcome the help.
Yeah, because I mean that would be perfect. They have to come to the classes. They are required. And here's something for your children.
Right.
Yes. You know.
Mm-hmm. We would love that.
Those classes at the library.
Yeah.
Yes.
Under our doors.
Right. We would love to do that. Absolutely.
And I mean, they require it, right, for TANF.
They also do that through the court system.
Mm. Right.
And some parents that's another are required thing, yeah. to take parenting classes and so forth.
And I've been talking to Kimberly Austin about forming a different parenting class that isn't, that's more, it'd be more specific to preschool kids that are currently in preschools as to what their parents could do at home to further their education and get them more ready for kindergarten.
Right. And one of these, this training class we took, they talked very much about when you're doing an activity with children, also explaining to parents what you're doing and why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that you're not just doing the activity with children, but you're modeling for the parents the learning technique that you're using so that they use it at home.
I like that.
Well, it's nice to see the library becoming so involved in things that are not, you know, what you typically think library. We're reaching out to other... this is great to be networking and collaborating. So that's exactly where we needed to be. So thank you guys for all you're doing on that.
It was just so shocking when I got that notification that we were in the bottom 15 in the state. Mm-hmm. I was so shocked. I wouldn't necessarily expect that we would be at the top, but to know that we were in the bottom 15 jurisdictions of the state, I was like, okay, we serve that population, we can do better.
Right.
The school system had not seen that number, and they didn't know where we got that number.
So the library taught the school system.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Well, they could have also, well
we got it. We got it. Okay, let's move on. We need to go into a closed session. I'm going to make a motion to go into closed session. It's for Code of Virginia, Section 2.2-3711, to discuss A.1 personnel matters. For the purpose of employee budget.
Yes.
Discussion. All in favor, we have to do this in a roll call vote. Donna, yay or nay?
Yay.
Nellie? Kristen?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. So with that, we will go into closed session.